evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I'm the managing editor of Reader Views in Austin, Texas.
And I'm Victor Volkman from Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's October 4th, 2007, and welcome to episode number 45 in our series. Tonight's topic is to self-publish or not to self-publish. And our special guest who will be joining us this hour is Jacqueline Church Simons. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. Now, Jacqueline Church Simons is the co-owner of Beagle Bay Incorporated, which you can find at www.beaglebay.com, publishers of women's adventure fiction, travel guides, and self-help books. Her company also offers small press distribution and book packaging services through their imprint called Creative Minds. Jacqueline is the author of Captain Mary Buccaneer, a pirate novel for adults, which was her first novel, and the genesis of her company. She's also the creator of the New Self-Publishers FAQ, and Jacqueline is one of the co-moderators of the SPAN Self-Publishing Discussion List, which we affectionately know as self-publishing at yahoogroups.com. Good evening to you, Jacqueline.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Jacqueline. It's finally great to have a voice on the other side of the name. I see you often contributing to the self-publishing group on Yahoo, and so it's really great to be able to talk to you in person.
Well, it's wonderful to be in touch with both you and Victor. I've seen your posts as well and admired both of your works, and so I'm very pleased to be with you tonight.
Well, today we're going to be talking about self-publishing, and it's interesting to be talking to someone who actually owns a publishing company and to be talking about self-publishing. So we're really interested in hearing what you have to say. And so let's just get right into it. Self-publishing, do we or don't we? The big question. And so maybe you can just kind of give us a lowdown on why we should.
Self-publishing has a long and honorable history. Everyone from Ben Franklin to John Grisham has self-published. And there's a lot to say for it. It's very hard work, but very satisfying. You get to control everything. You get to make the product of your dream, love it or hate it. You are the absolute captain of your dream. And having done it, launched and launched book publishing company, I can highly recommend it for those whose temperament it suits.
So, Jacqueline, I know that there are a lot of people that are wondering, what does it really take to be a self-publisher? And I would like you to tell us what type of a background that we need, or what do we need to be able to self-publish?
That's a really good launching point. What we need to start with to approach self-publishing is not a lot of preconception. If you go into the self-publishing with the belief that you will bring out a book and you don't have to do anything but bring it out, and it doesn't really matter how you bring it out, then you're not going to do well. It would help if more people had a business background, but that's not true for everybody, and it's not really necessary. You have to approach it as a business. The biggest misconception is that it's art, so business doesn't impact this. And the minute you stop writing it, you are engaged in the business of it. So you need to think about how you're going to get people to read this. It may be the most fabulous nonfiction tome in the world. It may be the most fabulous fiction in the world. But if you don't know how to reach the people it's going to get to, you're not going to make that happen. So you need to do some research after you finish writing it and understand exactly who your audience is, who your market is, and how you're going to get to them. And you may have to change how the book is written in order to get to your market. In other words, you know, maybe your market tends to want to have this kind of information really up front fast. So that's what you would put in the front of the book rather than, say, where you had it towards the back. So you have to be able to be flexible, but you have to be detail-oriented. You have to have the ability to handle a lot of different issues and you have to be able to be single-minded about it. This sound, this is one of those things where it's great for those who love to do things themselves. My husband and I have renovated houses, have built things together. So launching a publishing company, starting a self-publishing a book, really wasn't that hard for us in terms of, you know, how we paid attention to all the steps that need to go in it. A lot of people approach self-publishing and seem to think that they can jump into it for no money. Publishing is a $3 trillion a year industry worldwide, and there are 175,000 books published per year. And most of the people participating in that publishing are spending about $100,000 per title. That's
wow.
The big guys. That's the big guys, not the little guys, but it's the big guys. And they're spending about $100,000 per title for the big blockbusters. That doesn't mean that a self-publisher has to come up and say, I'm going to throw $100,000 at it. And I've met people who said, I'm going to throw $100,000 in that. And that's nice. I wish they'd just give it. But what they need to do is be smart about spending money. So you're going to spend somewhere between $10,000 and $25,000, and you need to have that money. If you're not spending it on production, you need to spend it on marketing. And that's a lot of money. And a lot of people say, well, I don't want to do this, and this company here says if I only give them $150, they'll give me a book. Well, that's under the heading, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That has its trade-offs, and we can talk about that if we want a little later. You have to have the time to invest in this. At the same time, you can't expect to be making a lot of money off of it. So if you have a day job, don't quit your day job. Publishing is very difficult, and a one-book publisher is usually not generating enough income to quit a job. And that means you're going to have to do whatever you're doing, your life, your business, whatever your regular work is, and publishing. And that puts a lot of stress on you. So you need to have the support of your friends and family before you launch it. And another thing is, you don't have to do all this do-it-yourself publishing. When we say that, it sounds like you must do it all yourself or you don't get an award or a little prize on your little sticker on your head or something. And it's okay to hire what are called book shepherds or book coaches who can help you put everything together, because the first time you're self-publishing, for many people, it's just too overwhelming. And I completely understand that. I full disclosure, I do that for people, and I have seen that some people are great at doing everything themselves, and other people need someone to do the typesetting or the book cover or arrange the printing or whatever it is. There is more than one way to approach these things.
That's a really sobering introduction, and all of it is true. I'm here. I'm saying amen in the back of the choir here. Let's talk about the pieces of the pie a little bit. So let's just pick a figure, like you said, 10,000. What should I think about? How much of that is the cover? How much of that is marketing, pre-production, post-production? How much of that is editing? How much of that is book design? Where does it all go?
There's a sliding scale for everything, as you can imagine. You can expect to spend from $3 to $7 on interior typesetting and book design.
Uh-huh.
You can expect to spend somewhere between $700 and $3,000 in cover. Editing all over the map, but editing is absolutely necessary. You can skip developmental editing, which is when somebody looks at your book and says, well, you know, chapter 3 really needs to begin the book and chapter 1 really needs to go away. That's some people need that, some people don't, but everybody needs a mechanical or line editing, which finds typos and grammar problems. And this is one of the worst problems we have with self-published books, is that people think they can get along without it. No, you can't. Then there's the printing the book itself. If it's just a black and white book, you can be looking at prices of anywhere from $1.50 to $4 per book, depending on the length and the complications, how many graphics or such are in there. If it's color, you know, who knows? It depends on the length of the book and how complicated the job is. I've had jobs come in as low as $2.50 and as high as $7 per book, but this is also, everything has to do with the amount print. So economies of scale kick in. The more you print, the lower your unit cost. But then you have, how many do you have in your basement or your garage? And then you need to address what you're doing for marketing. You can do a lot on a shoestring. We recommend that nonfiction, absolutely, and some most fiction, you try at least for pre-publication review. They're not going to give you a review if you don't have distribution. So finding out how to get your book into the book trade, if that's where you're going, you need to find that out before you get the book even printed. It's not the ads. We don't really go much for ads with our books. What we suggest to people is that they spend some money hiring a publicist who can get them talking to magazines and newspapers and radio shows and television shows, because that's where people really are. That's where their readers are going to be, is reading those publications. So you can spend anywhere on the marketing from $3,000 to $20,000 very easily. But you don't have to spend it all at once, is the good news on the publicity. So that's kind of a beginning guide.
Right, right. The what are the factors that go into me deciding the size of my print run? I think that's pretty critical, but I have no idea. How would you factor it out?
That is a really big decision. You have to balance between what's your best deal that you can get from a printer. You know, if you're going color, you really can't print less than 5,000 because the economics are such that your unit cost is going to be really farther down if you can get over 5,000. But that puts you at 5,000. How are you going to sell those books? So that's a very frightening thought. There are some people who have been using Lightning Source, printing the book one by one basis and having them put it through Ingram. I have not seen actual numbers that support good sales for this. And I'm working on a new book called Starting a Small Press in a Mega Press World, and I'm going to be doing several surveys, and one of the surveys I'm planning is discovering if LSI is a cost-effective way to sell. So If you've got a fiction, I would really suggest going the print-on-demand route, because there's just not a whole lot of room in the market for an unknown fiction writer. And I think that would probably be the wisest bet for fiction. On nonfiction, this is where your marketing research really pays off. And you can, you know, if you don't publish the book and you just sit down and do your market research, find out, you know, how big a universe you're looking at and how you would get to them and how much they would really buy. I once had a client, they printed up 5,000 books, and we went to the International Reading Association. It's a very large literacy industry convention, and there were 30,000 people attending their convention, and my clients expected to sell a book to every single one. Well, that's not going to happen.
No.
If you can sell 1%, that would be a really groovy day. As it turned out, we sold 110 books right there on the convention floor, and then we sold about 300, 400 in orders in the year following. Okay, well, that was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good because
yeah.
It was an unknown product. My people were very depressed about it because they didn't think that, you know, they thought that was their whole universe and that their universe would demand their book. Well, you know, you have to balance between, you know, what you think might happen and what reality is. Whatever you think, cut it by 11%. you know, and that kind of real-world situation you should keep in mind, you know, is you know, 30,000 people and they didn't. They sold, what, 0.5%. And that was good. And that's about the same return, by the way, as direct mailing.
Right.
We have some things in common with that. But it's very difficult to say, yes, for a nonfiction, for a self-help book, you print 1,500 and you'll sell 1,000 in the first year. You can't know because you don't know if that book is going to get a review and if that book is going to fit into the niche that librarians and booksellers want. So I caution people to go fairly conservatively. You can always reprint. So for as a standard, I'd say 2,500 for most nonfiction is a good idea.
Great.
Jacqueline, I wanted to go back on some of the things that you had said, and I was writing down notes here as you were talking, and you said that production and marketing could cost anything between $10,000 and $25,000. And so I kind of figured here as to what the profit would be on selling a book, and my goodness, the author would have to sell between 2,000 to 5,000 books just to cover the minimum cost. That's a pretty scary thought, because you either have to have an awful lot of friends or money is not an issue.
Right. This is one of the things that really frightens people, because when you really start looking at the numbers, this does not make any sense. Remember that of the top five big publishers in this country, they're all owned by entertainment consortiums, and they're all the loss leaders. They're not making money. They're developing ideas that get made into movies and video games and things like that. Books just don't make that much money. And, you know, you have to really want this very badly to go out and publish. And this is the thing that I caution people on is, you know, yeah, I know what it feels like. I absolutely know what it feels like to have this work in your hands and think, I am going to take this into the world and I'm going to make the world see it. It's hard. It's hard work. And it is not inexpensive. You can succeed. And I know of people who are succeeding very, very nicely. But it is a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of money, and it's low return.
Well, you know, I remember going into Barnes & Noble or Borders and looking at just that pie in the sky and visualizing my book being there and selling tons of books. Well, after publication, I found out that Barnes & Noble would not carry my book. And I think that's a lot of times we do have that pie in the sky. And being I published with a subsidy press, and they didn't take returns. And, of course, I didn't know that the workings of the large bookstores. And I think that being even with self-publishing, that even gets to be more of a challenge.
It really does. I spoke to a writers group here at my local B&M, and it's one of the biggest that they have in the West. And we were sitting in the coffee area, and I said, look up above you, and it's two stories.
Yeah.
And I see all of these books. I said, every single spine there has a little for rent sign. And because they're not there forever. The booksellers are not there forever. They're going to return these if they don't sell. They don't take every book, and they're not going to keep every book. And this is really hard. This is one of the strangest industries. I mean, all businesses have their quirks, but basically the book trade is a giant consignment in that you send your books out and say Ingram buys, 15 copies, and you think, boy, that's nice, and then 2 months later they come back, and it turns out you weren't paid for that. And it seems very unfair. The whole system seems very unfair, and especially when you're a small fry, a small self-publisher, it seems overwhelmingly unfair. It is unfair, but there is nothing in American business that seems fair at all, really. If you've done any business at all, you quickly realize that it's all stacked against the little guy. And what you have to do is just be faster and understand the market as well as anybody out there. They will return your books if you're a self-publisher. They will refuse to carry your books. They will pretend that they can't find it in the database. I played that game several times. It's not rigged for small people to succeed, but you can succeed if you play smart and you understand the rules. And understanding the rules is really important. There hasn't been a lot published really about how small fry can deal with these issues, how we can deal with the fact that Baker and Taylor, if you're a self-publisher, they will order two books and return them in 2 weeks and then order two books in 2 weeks and things of that nature. It's a frightful business. But it's the business that we've got, and railing against it doesn't help anything. Putting energy into understanding how to game the system, well, that's some use of some good energy.
Jacqueline, you had a really good point, and it's understanding the system and going with it, and it's encouraging to hear that it can be done, and one can be successful. And you had mentioned John Grisham, and I know the story that from way back when he first wrote his first book, he drove across the country selling books out of the back of his vehicle. Now, look at him now. You know,
right.
So it is possible to succeed in self-publishing. One thing you had mentioned earlier, and that was the editing, and as a review service, we get all kinds of books, right from the huge publishers to the self-published. Quite often, a lot of the self-published, you can tell that the author just did not have the funds and the means to do the proper editing. There was one time the reviewer just refused to review the book, and I said, fine, send it to me. I want to see what's going on. And I flipped open the pages randomly and read the one page, and I found 12 errors. And I'm not even an editor. I overlook a lot of things. So, you know, and so there we are, and we get a lot of those. So how about some encouraging words about editing and really taking the time and money to have your book properly edited? I'd like to hear from you on that.
Editing is one of those things where everybody, you know, because we're encouraged as children that everybody can write, and then as we grow older, oh, everybody's got a book in them, we tend to believe that we are automatic experts. And this belief in oneself, which is lovely, seems to carry over to I can write anything and it's all going to be terrific and I don't need an editor, or my next door neighbor is, or I have a client who said, oh, my daughter likes it, so she's going to edit it. And not so much. You really need to have somebody who is trained, who understands how words fit together, how grammar fits together, how spelling is a necessity. And especially with self-publishers, because we fight such an uphill battle, our text needs to be much cleaner than Randolph. I mean, you know, I've seen John Updike wrote that he loves every single book of his until he opens up the new publication and catches the first typo.
Mm.
I love John Updike, and I loved that what he said, because of course the big publishers have it, and I've seen some whoppers on some big published mega bestsellers, but we can't afford it, because there are three things that booksellers and reviewers toss a book for. One is just a nasty, ugly cover. A cover is very important. We'll talk about that in a minute. Second of all is typos on everything. Reviewers, and I'm not just saying that folks at Reader's View, it's not just you, it's everybody. Everybody from New York Times on down to, you know, Joe Bob's Billy Bob Review Service. Everyone expects their books to be absolutely perfect. And they really expect, if they see a self-publisher, they want to have them not succeed. And that's not being mean, it's just the bar is a little higher for self-publishers. So the importance of getting a good editor cannot be stressed enough. We have to have clean text to present to the world, because people are judging us by every single word.
Yeah. That, amen to that. Let's go backwards a little bit and talk a little bit about book coaching. When is my project ready for a book coach, and how do I find one that fits me?
Finding one is difficult. It does help if you participate in one of the publishing discussion groups like Span Self-Publishing or Small Pub Civil or Publish L. And you can just ask, and people have lots of suggestions. You need to discuss with that person, whoever you talk to. I suggest that you send them two chapters and say, this is what I'm doing, and give them a summary of where you're going, what you think, and what you're going to do, and show them two chapters. And they can pretty much tell you if you're ready. I have actually had to refuse jobs because the person simply could not write, and there wasn't. I could not cast a resurrection spell on this writing. There's just nothing. I have a little magic wand here at my desk, and the wand said, no, don't even bother. Some people, they're just not ready. Go back and rewrite this. Learn how to write. Take writing classes. Some book shepherds can put you in touch with a developmental editor to help you get to that next step, to that polished step. Maybe your work doesn't need that, but it just needs a good line editor. The book coach can either do it or find you that. What book coaches do is absolutely everything. They know, either they do it themselves or they have a list of people who they call on to help you with your project. But only you know if you're completely comfortable with the people. I've had people who didn't, you know, quite understand where I was coming from, and our personalities didn't jibe. And I said, well, you know, why don't you try somebody else? Here's a couple of ideas. And other people who I've just clicked with so much is like, are you family? And I just didn't. you know, that, and but it's important to feel comfortable with the people you're working with, especially with your writing, because it is such a mind child, if you will. You need to feel completely comfortable. And then, of course, this is an investment. So you also need to feel that you can trust this person to guide you while spending your money. And it's really important to get into the fact that, you know, they are going to be spending your money and they have to make their money, so they have to make decisions. But do you trust them to make decisions that you know that they're going to be making money, but you're okay with that? So that's basically what a book coach does.
I'm just finding this extremely interesting, and I wish I had known a lot of this information before I did my own book.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
As I say,
me too.
I would wander into one of the big stores, and I would just dream. It's like my book. I could visualize it there. Well, this is one time visualization didn't work for that book.
I understand. I think those of us have walked the path. We know, we understand.
Now I can laugh about it and move on. So, gosh, Jacqueline, this has been really a great conversation. And tell us, what is your website again? How can people find you?
Our main website is beaglebay.com. That's BeagleBay.com. And from there, you can click on the self-publisher's FAQ and our book packaging services if that's something you'd be interested in. You know, I'm always happy to get notes from people from all sorts of places. As you know, if you've been on the SPAN self-publishing list, I am an answer pig. I answer practically anything. Go ahead and send me an email. Don't be shy. I know how writers are, and I'm that way too, but it's okay. I only bite sometimes.
And you certainly do have a lot of good advice on the youth Yahoo group, self-publishing. So one thing we didn't really get into is your book tax services, but I encourage listeners to go to your website and check that out, because it certainly is, you have some good information there here, what you can help them out with. And so just sort of close this up, Jacqueline, do you have any particular remarks and sort of bottom line that you would like to tell our listeners on whether or not they should self-publish?
Sure. I think that most people should really evaluate how hard they're willing to work if they're thinking about self-publishing. If you're seeing an easy way like subsidy or somebody says they're going to, for $100, you could be published. Well, if you're only going to give the books away to friends, then take that route. If you're really serious about either breaking into the book trade or breaking into other areas, then you need to really study how to go about it right and ask a lot of questions and read a lot and ask a lot more questions. This is a really serious business, and you can lose money, and you can lose quite a lot of it through no fault of your own or because you didn't understand something. It's a tough business. It's also terribly rewarding. It's very rewarding to sit down next to somebody and discover that they're reading your book, and you don't know that person.
Yeah.
But the first time that happens to you, it's such a thrill you can hardly breathe. But and to talk to people, you know, get to talk to reporters and such who are actually interested in your book, and suddenly you realize, yeah, that book really made a difference to somebody. And that's what we live for. That's what we go for. So if you've got the time, the temperament, and unfortunately, it's true, the money, self-publishing could be the route for you. I really encourage you to try it if you've got a mind to do it.
Gosh, some good words. Thank you again, Jacqueline, and we really do appreciate you taking the time and chatting with us.
Well, I've been delighted to talk with you and Victor, and it's quite an honor to be included in this.
Thank you so much. And you've been listening to another podcast edition of Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. We'll be back October 11th, 2007, when our topic will be Why Readers Choose the Book by Their Covers. And our guest who will be joining us is Patrick Snow. You can learn more about all our guests on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Press.
And for Reader Views, this is Irene Watson in Austin, Texas, signing off.
For Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.